for there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please join in singing the offertory.
Yeah, you have to suffer through a homily first, I guess. Today, really tomorrow, Pope Francis has called the first World Day of the Poor. And he calls it to remind us to embrace a culture of encounter, to remind us again, or encourage us even, to a greater solidarity with the poor. We must note that his message is not primarily about just giving more to charity, and it's certainly not just about thinking about the poor again today. No, he calls us to act with our hands and with our voices, speaking to and helping this individual person in front of us. And so why is that part of it so important? Because the greatest hunger of the poor and the homeless is not the hunger of the stomach. It's not a hunger that we can fix with the charity of a check. To illustrate, I'll tell you the story of Alan Graham. He lives in Austin, Texas. He's a businessman and a developer. And a number of years ago, he went on a retreat, and he had his faith fired up. He was excited to do something for the Lord, to commit his life more and more to the gospel. And so he decided that it would be good for him to help the poor. So he got a group of his business buddies together, and they determined to start a food truck to go around and give food to the homeless in Austin. But they figured they really didn't know, you know, all what they were doing. And so this other guy who had been on that same retreat, named Houston Flake, he was there, and he had been homeless, or was homeless, also had been a drug addict, but he was trying to get his life turned around, and they had befriended him on this retreat, so they invited him to this meeting, and they met in downtown Austin in some really nice office building, and they had this meeting about how they're going to put this food truck together. And Houston, the homeless man, kind of listened to these men go on about their dreams of what they could do for the poor with this food truck. And at the end of the meeting, Houston just said, "Well, how about you come with me now to my office?" So all the men got in a car and drove down into South Austin, and they stopped just kind of next to a forest, got out, and Houston started to lead them down this dirt path. And they went quite a ways, and then they began to see trash lying around, and the men realized that he was taking them to a homeless camp, this camp that Houston lived in. And as Houston was leading them, they met a woman sitting in a lawn chair, smoking a cigarette, dressed like she lived in a forest. But Houston just goes up to her, embraces her, calls her by name, asks her how she's doing. And Alan, at this point, has a big realization. As he realizes what he's getting into, he realizes that his charity, what charity really is not just about doing stuff for the poor. No, it's about caring for the person in front of you, caring for real people. So he has this realization, and it takes him a while. You know, he's learning as they go, and they end up putting this food truck together to go around to take food to the homeless of Austin. And Alan more and more realized that it's about the people. It's not about just him doing stuff, but it's about engaging the people, giving them something more than just food. And so then he set a goal for himself. His goal was to get to know every single person who lived on the streets of Austin, Texas. He wanted to get to know them by name. He wanted to have a first name, be on a first name basis with everyone, all the homeless people in Austin. That's what he set out to do. Another thing that Houston taught them was that in dealing with the poor, you don't have to just give them their necessities. Houston wanted them to give out popsicles from their food truck, just because it gave dignity to these people who had nothing. They don't need popsicles, but it brought them joy to have a popsicle on a hot day. And so they got this food truck running, and it ran, and now it still runs every single day of the week through Houston, giving food to the poor. But one of the other things that Alan realizes is the poor people don't just need just food. They have that greater hunger. And certainly it comes from a need to be wanted. And so Alan progressed his idea to even starting a community, of building a community in South Austin, to where they built tiny homes, an RV park, a really nice park where people, homeless people, could come and rent out a house, pay for it, have a job there, etc. It's a pretty amazing story. They started about 10 years ago, if you've not heard about it, the Community First Village. But the big lesson that Alan learned, and it's the same thing Mother Teresa would say all the time, that the greatest hunger that the poor and the homeless have is for love. It's to be wanted. It's to be cared about. It's to have someone to care about them. And Alan says that the greatest disease in the West is loneliness, which then leads people to despair, and it leads them to hopelessness. Because they feel unloved, unwanted, uncared for, they feel like less of a person. And so this disease, if you want to call it that, is much harder to cure than just the hunger of the stomach. And there's really only one cure for this hunger, and that is love. That is me showing this individual person that I care, that they matter, that they're not alone. It is through my hands, my eyes, and my voice that I reaffirm that they are wanted, that they are a person. And conversely, when I ignore the poor person, the person living on the streets, then I'm really reaffirming that they are unwanted, that they are not worth my time or my consideration. And then something within us, you know, kind of dies when we do that, that human element of us. But all of our care certainly is inspired by the person of Jesus, the Christ. Jesus became poor so that he could encounter the poor, that he could reach the poor. He wanted to show us that every single one of us, every single person, was significant to God. And so we carry on that mission. First, by when we encounter somebody, we affirm their humanity just by speaking to them, shaking their hand, giving them attention. And then we can share with them the love and concern of Christ by sharing with them the good news that they are not insignificant to God, that God became man and sought us out so that we would not be lost from him forever. He sought us and he continues to seek us, and that is a message that we too can share with our poor brothers and sisters. And we encounter Christ himself in the poor. And in getting to know the poor, in serving the poor, we serve Christ himself. Really, really him. Christ identifies himself with the poor. We see that in Matthew 25, where he says, when he's separating the sheep and the goats at the judgment, "When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. As you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me." So then finally, today's gospel also stands out as a clear kind of witness to this first World Day of the Poor. Because Christ has given us many talents, many gifts, many opportunities. And he wants us to use them. He wants us to be productive with them. And there are many ways, certainly, that God calls us to be productive with our talents. But when it comes to our poor brothers and sisters, the use of our talents isn't just about earning money and writing a check to charity. No, it has to be encountering Jesus Christ in our poor brothers and sisters by shaking their hand, by hearing their story, by sharing a meal, by praying together. We see in Alan a great example of someone who had many talents and has many talents, and who has gone out and made more talents by his work with the poor, by getting to know them, learning their stories, and helping them in ways that he could. And it didn't come easy to Alan. He had to spend a lot of time certainly reshaping his stereotypes about the poor and overcoming his desire not to hug the poor person who's, you know, you have no idea where their hands have been or, you know, what's on their clothing. But he was able to overcome that with that love to serve the poor Christ. And through his investments of his talents, he already, even today, shares in his master's joy. Actually, Alan himself says that if there was a Fortune 500 of the happiest people on the planet, that he would be number one. He's invested his talents in his poor brothers and sisters. And today, still on this earth, he shares the master's joy because he encounters Christ himself.